I am not God. He told the light to shine, and it gleamed beautifully. And he called existence forth, and it began to be. Well, he told the waters to flow, and he told the beasts to breathe, and he told the plants to grow into mighty trees. He created all things that we will ever know, and he called me by name and told me to go. Okay, I will go. I'll go the other way, and maybe then you'll go away. Your love might be great, but it isn't enough to outweigh my hate, because I am not God. I fled to the sea, and I hid with pagans who didn't even believe, and even they recognized my God when he followed me. I watched these heathens acknowledge him in the storm, and then they threw me aside, and they left me to drown in the embrace of the cold tide. I couldn't save myself, because I'm not God.
Hi, I'm Rachel Day, and I don't like people. Maybe it's not as bad as I'm making it seem. But the point is, I would much rather be hiding at home under my fluffy blanket with my obese cat in my lap and a book in my hand. Today, I will be sharing Jonah chapter 1. Jonah runs. If you have a Bible or Bible app, please turn to Jonah chapter 1. If you'd like a Bible, please raise your hand and an usher will bring you one. Jonah isn't a story about a fish. Yes, there's a fish, but it's only mentioned twice. It's not a children's story. It's packed with heavy themes like rebellion, suicidal thoughts, and anger towards God. Some Bible stories focus on people running for God. But Jonah is running from God. Let's begin in verses 1 and 2, page 795 in your church Bibles. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Jonah means dove. Amittai means faithfulness. This means his name is Dove, son of faithfulness. Keep this in mind while observing his actions the rest of the chapter. So Jonah, our dove, was told to fly himself to Nineveh. But our dove decided to fly the opposite way, as we see in verse 3. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Thus begins Jonah's descent. He heads down to Joppa, boards a boat down to Tarshish, wanders down below deck, and sinks down into a deep sleep. So God sends a storm to wake him up. Continuing to verses 4 and 5, then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. In verses 8 through 10, they asked Jonah who he was. He answered, I am Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. This terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. Because of Jonah's disobedience to God, he puts everyone's lives in grave peril. But through this act of disobedience, God is able to prove his power to the sailors. The sailors know that this is not just a normal storm, but a storm created by a force which they did not yet understand. The sailors see the flaw in Jonah's actions. Why would you run away from the God who created the sea on the sea? At least Jonah owns up to his mistakes in verse 12. He realizes that he messed up by trying to flee and tells the sailors to throw him overboard into the sea that God created and controls. Once the sea calms, the sailors fully see the overwhelming power of God. Jonah very well could have avoided putting everyone in peril if he had just done what he was told, but I guess hindsight is 20/20. Even though he was disobedient, God still calmed the raging sea and gave Jonah safety in the form of the fish which swallowed him. Anyway, while I do see Jonah's running away as a poor choice, I shouldn't criticize too much. I also tend to run away from things. Conflict, people, homework, worst of all, scary movies. I tend to run away from people and let them come to me. But God has a different plan for me, and I'm slowly learning that. In the fall of 2016, I entered the 9th grade a year early, having skipped the 8th grade. On my first day of school, I walked into Davies High School not knowing a single person in the building. I really wanted to just curl up with my cat under my blanket with my book instead of face the sea of strangers. I really wanted to fit in, but I felt like I had a neon sign over my head that read, "Girl who skipped a grade." So I decided I'm not going to talk to anyone unless I'm talked to first, and if I am talked to first, I'm going to say as little as possible. I ran away from God telling me to connect with people. While the consequences of me running away didn't put a boat full of people in danger, I was lonely. Finally, I decided to listen and stop running. There was a girl in one of my classes who I felt like God was leading me to, so I pushed my anxieties aside just for a moment and approached her instead of running away. It was uncomfortable, but I don't regret it. She became one of my closest friends, and as I began to listen more to God, I began to grow more social, though I'm still an introvert at heart. My friendship with this girl lasted only a couple of years because she moved away, but I learned a lot from it. If I had closed myself back up and went back to always running away, I wouldn't have the people I'm closest to currently. I'm not saying that I'm perfect and that I never run away, because I'm not, but I'm getting better. Don't run from God. Run after him, and he will do amazing things, even if it takes some stormy seas to get there. In Jonah 1, Jonah runs. Will you run from God or run towards him?
Felt the depths engulf me. This is what drowning feels like. I am hopeless and I am helpless, and I fled from my only protection. This is what dying feels like. Jaws closed around me, and a great beast swallowed me, and I knew that my time had come. For I ran from my God, and now my time was done. I abandoned him and he abandoned me, but how I would welcome now his rod and his fury, just to know that I had not been forgotten, to know that I had not been left. And yet, for 3 days, my God held back death.
Hello, church. My name is Andre Nelson, and I'm a senior at Ada Warp West. Today, I'm excited to be sharing with you the second part of our message from Jonah 2. Jonah repents. So in Jonah 1, God told our dove Jonah to fly himself up to Nineveh and preach, but he instead flew down to Joppa, worried about down to Tarshish, wandered down below deck, and sunk down to a deep sleep. God sent a storm to wake him up, but Jonah, rather than asking God for help, asked the pagan sailors to throw him down to the depths of the sea. We're going to jump around a little bit, but let's start in verses 1 and 2. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and he listened to my cry." Jonah calls out to God in his distress. Sadly, Jonah doesn't repent quite yet and sees his need for God until he's in a very low place. Literally, he's in the bottom of the sea in the belly of a fish. Don't we often find ourselves in the same place, calling out to God only when we really need him or when we are at our lowest? Thankfully, it doesn't end there, for Jonah repents. Verse 4, I said, I've been banished from your sight, yet I'll look again to your holy temple. Jonah realized that he had disobeyed God. He hadn't just disobeyed him, he went completely in the opposite direction. But Jonah also realized that God was faithful and would forgive him and still be there with him even from the lowest of places. Verse 6, but you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. God heard Jonah's cry and rescued him from his lowest place. Verses 9 and 10, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Jonah was grateful that God was still there with him and vowed to turn around and follow God's command. My eighth grade year, I went on the Bethel Students Fall Retreat, and it changed my life. The most powerful part was the Saturday night message. That night, we had an extended time of worship, and I felt God's presence for the first time. It was so strong. I knew that he loved me, and that night, I surrendered my life to Christ. Like John, like Jonah, I found that salvation comes from the Lord. After coming back home from fall retreat, youth group really helped me to keep running to Jesus. But also, like Jonah, I have ran from God at times too and found myself in low places. During my sophomore year at Park Christian, I really started to struggle with anxiety. I just remember my mental health deteriorating and my thought life being so awful and negative. Like Jonah, I was in a low place, a low, low place. One night after youth group, I was at my worst and really low. I was so low and my mental health and relationship with God was so bad. I honestly felt like I had failed God, like Jonah. I knew that I was going in the opposite direction, heading down and down, just like Jonah heading down to the belly of a great fish. Conveniently, this was the same night that our church was doing a worship night. With me just desperately needing Jesus, I went towards the sanctuary and sat in front of those windows outside of it. And listened along with our worship team. Just like Jonah, I looked to God. And he answered my prayer too. Through amazing worship, God reminded me that he is faithful and forgives my sin. I felt his presence and peace. And when I stood up and turned around on the wall back by the coffee shop, there was a display that said, God's faithfulness. The church put it there for 125th year anniversary, but I knew God put it there for me too. God will always be there no matter where you go, waiting for us to turn around. He always forgive us and always love us. In your lowest place, remember God's faithfulness. Lift your eyes up to God, and he'll lift your eyes up from the pit. In Jonah 2, Jonah repents. How is God calling you to repent and return to him?
And so I awoke on the shore of my enemy. The one place, the one people from which I tried to flee, I wanted them destroyed with every fiber of my being. But now, what could I do? But do as the Lord told me. And so into the not so great city I went. And after a day of walking, I stopped, and I told the people simply to repent. For the judgment of the Lord was coming, and dear God, may it come quick. But to my dismay, they heard my warning, and they took it to heart. And the whole city repented and fasted, and they called urgently out to the Lord who spared them. And so I left to brood alone out in the dark.
Good morning. My name is Ethan Sinsulin, and I am a homeschooled high school senior, or as my friends and I like to call it, home edumacated. We like to make fun of it, but in reality, we love being homeschooled. This morning, I have the privilege to share Jonah 3. Jonah reaches. In Jonah 2, Jonah repented, and God brought him up from the depths of the sea. The fish vomits him onto dry land. His lungs fill with air, and he's given a second chance. In Jonah 3, Jonah gets the same command as in chapter 1. Jonah 3, 1 through 2 says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message that I give you." We all are given a command in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, to go and preach the gospel to all nations. We, like Jonah, are sent to be God's messengers throughout the world. So like Jonah, this message is for us. Jonah 3:3 goes on to say, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah obeys reluctantly. In the next verse, see if you can pick out what is wrong with Jonah's message. Jonah 3:4 says, Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. The problem with this message is that it's only 5 words in Hebrew and only focuses on destruction, without mentioning why the destruction has come or how to avoid this destruction. 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. It sounds like it's going to happen, whether or not the Ninevites repent. The reason for this is found in Jonah 4, when Jonah says that he knew God would have mercy on the Ninevites if they repented. That's why he didn't want to preach to them. The Ninevites are Jonah's enemies. After all, Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, the empire that wiped out 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel. They were the most brutal, oppressive, and violent empire in Jonah's day. They would plunder a city, skin alive the city's leaders in front of everybody, and then enslave the captured citizen. Jonah hates them and doesn't want them to be saved. Fortunately for the Ninevites, God is a God of mercy. As we see in Jonah 3:4 through 10, all of Nineveh repents, the king vacates his throne, and God takes his rightful place in their lives. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord can be saved, even the Ninevites. God calls us, just like Jonah, to be his messengers to the world and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to everyone. Last summer, I went on a Bethel students mission trip to a Native American reservation. During the trip, I felt God calling me to share the gospel with those around me, but I was nervous about sharing. During the last night of the trip, we got to meet many community members at a community picnic. As we were waiting in line, I started talking to one of them. He thanked me for coming and helping their poor community. I replied, "You're welcome. We're here to share the love of Jesus with you." This led to an amazing opportunity to share the gospel. He shared with me his beliefs about God and about the spirit land, and then asked what I believed. I then got to share the truth, which is we all sin and make mistakes. God is perfect and can't have our imperfection in heaven. So because of our sin, we are condemned to hell. But God loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for our sins, so that when he looks at us, he sees us as perfect because of Jesus. Anyone who believes in Jesus can now go to heaven and be saved. This experience really showed me that sharing our faith isn't something that we should dread. It's something that we should desire. For it is God who works in us to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Too often, we think that we need to be perfect to share God's message with others. Jonah didn't use all the right words or preach an amazing message. In fact, he wanted the Ninevites to die. Now think, if God could use Jonah to save a whole city, how much more could God use you and me? All he asks for is our obedience. I know for a fact that if everyone here obeyed God, we could change Fargo-Moorhead. My prayer for you and for myself is that we will let God use us to change the world. Whether it's talking to a stranger next to you in line or taking a friend out for lunch, I challenge you this week to have one conversation with someone that you feel God is calling you to reach. In Jonah 3, Jonah reaches. Who is God calling you to reach?
I left to brood alone out in the dark. And there, the Lord confronted me. Jonah, why do you fight me? Why do you flee just to spite me when there was a time you wanted to be just like me? Tread lightly, for I am mercy and I am justice, and I desire abundance over destruction. Tread lightly, for mine is the kingdom, and mine is the power, and mine will be the glory forever.
Good morning. My name is Connor Heinz, and I am a junior at Moorhead High School. And we finally reached the last chapter in Jonah's story, Jonah Returns. Now, in the last 3 chapters, we've looked at how Jonah ran from God and repented from inside the belly of a fish, all just to reach the great city of Nineveh, all just to say five words in Hebrew, translating to 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And overthrown it was. All Nineveh repented, and the king vacated his throne, and God took his rightful place as the ruler in their lives. And now Jonah 4 is the part of the story we often really don't talk about, and it covers what happens after Nineveh repents. Let's look at Jonah 4, starting in verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? This is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Now, when Jonah says this, we see him trying to give an excuse to God as to why he didn't want to go to Nineveh and why he ran. You see, Jonah hates Nineveh, and he says it himself that he knew that God would save them if they repented. And this is the last thing Jonah wants. He wants to see Nineveh destroyed for what they've done. Even after God used Jonah to save hundreds of thousands of people, Jonah still viewed them through the lens of his stereotypes rather than through the lens of God's love. Now, I had a similar experience to this when my family and I lived in Florida, and I decided to join a summer football camp. Now, I had been homeschooled all my life, and so this was my first real experience with a public school setting. Now, walking in, I couldn't relate to any of the conversation or anything like that, and it made me really uncomfortable. And instead of building relationships with the other players, I judged them by our differences, and I left and never looked back. And this set up a stereotype that I had for what high school was really like. Now, when my family moved to Moorhead, I decided to play football at Moorhead High School, and I had the same expectations as last time, nothing to relate to and being a complete outsider. The funny thing is, it was the complete opposite from what I had expected. When I went to practice, it was like a new family for me, and the best part was, it allowed me to talk with my teammates about their faith, and I had a conversation with one of my teammates, Jack, where I was able to help clear up certain questions that he had about his faith. Now, you see, Jonah had stereotypes about Nineveh, just like I did about high school, and that's why Jonah left Nineveh behind. But when I stayed and built relationships with my team at Moorhead High School, God changed me and began changing others through me. Now, think about what would have happened if Jonah would have stayed in Nineveh and forgave the Ninevites. Now, Nineveh doesn't know how to worship God. I mean, they're putting sackcloth on cows. What could have happened if Jonah had taught them about how to really worship God and how it would have changed the city? And maybe today you're here and you're looking like you're Jonah in chapter 1. You've been running from God. And if that's you today, as long as you're alive, it's never too late to turn around, run after God. Or maybe like in Jonah 2, you've realized you need to turn around and you're ready to repent and ask God's forgiveness for all the ways that you've sinned against him. Repent from sin. And maybe like in Jonah 3, you've been called to reach out to someone, a friend, a neighbor, a family member, a coworker even. God used Jonah's five words to save a city, and God can use your words too, however small, to make a massive impact and to reach our city. Or maybe like in Jonah 4, you need to be reminded that God wants to change you and not just other people through you. In Jonah 4, Jonah returns from a life-changing experience, yet his life doesn't look very changed. When you come back next Sunday, will you return changed because of what God did in and through you this week? Let me leave you with one thing. Run after God, repent from sin, reach our city, and return changed. Let's pray. Dear God, I want to thank you for the story of Jonah and how no matter where we are in life, you reach out to us and you pull us out of that dark pit. And I pray that as we leave this place and we go out into the city, that you would do a great work through us and that people would see a difference in us because of the way that we act, because of your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.